to the book of Galatians and chapter 3. Just for the sake of connection, verse 20 of chapter 3. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have been given life, verily righteousness should have been given by or out of the law. But Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise through faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept or guarded under the law, shut up unto the faith which should be afterwards revealed. I just like to keep that verse in your mind. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept or guarded under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Philippians, please. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And I think it's chapter 4. Again, for the sake of connection, verse 4. And of course, the old saying of when you're in a fix, remember Philippians 4 and 6. Okay, the verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all, to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or be anxious for nothing. That's a change of words, and it doesn't mean to say we've got to be careless, but we've not got to be over anxious. Be anxious or over anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Of course, that's the third of a trilogy, if you'd say, the peace of God. Those of us who are saved have the peace of God, or peace with God. And we can know the peace of God, but, you know, deeper still, the company of the God of peace is something to be treasured. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, or through the fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's coming back again. This morning I was driving here. There was a car overtook me, beating the speed limit. If he passes me, he's got to be beating the speed limit. But simply because, maybe because my car doesn't go any faster, I don't know. But on the back of it, there was this word, anarchist. It caught my eye. And I thought on it, and I thought, there's somebody who's making a statement that he doesn't want any rule. And immediately, it came into my mind to the, another word, monarchist. And I thank God that I was under the rule of the Lord Jesus. We sometimes forget that we've been trained, we're in a kingdom. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And we just don't do what we like. We're not anarchists or Christian anarchists. In fact, it's not a contradiction in terms. It is. But we are monarchists in a sense, in the true sense. Now, let's separate it from any other feelings that you have. We are monarchists in the true sense that we are under the rule of the one and only King, the Lord Jesus Himself. I sensed in a meeting this morning, in the midst of their worship, there was a sense that God cares. And God was upholding us despite what we were going through. And this again brought this fresh to me, the fact of 1 Peter. You ever consider the letter to 1 Peter? 1 Peter sat down, Peter wrote, sat down and wrote, or dictated. He's writing to a people who are scattered. Now, in trying to meditate on that and think on it, these people are scattered because they are believers. They're in the dispersia. Now, I looked up William MacDonald on this a few days ago, and he seemed to think that it didn't even matter whether they were Jews or Gentiles, but he had a leaning towards the fact that they could even be Gentiles. But I've always had a leaning towards the fact that they were Jews, or should leave up that word fact, or leaning towards the belief that they were Jews, scattered, because of their belief in the Lord Jesus. Some of us got an email during the week there, it just comes to mind at the moment, I think it's in Libya, there's 415 young men who were attending the Nasser University who have confessed Christ, and they were up for trial. And they haven't denied Christ, because even though it's going to cost them their life. And I wonder at myself at times. And very often a statement of Jeff Bull comes back, that when he was leaving as a missionary to go to China, he said, "Lord, I'm willing to die for you." But when the Communist Party were coming to take him captive, he said, "Lord, am I willing to die for you?" And sometimes we must challenge ourselves. These people had lost everything. We read about bushfires and people being left with simply the clothes they have on. And I wonder how we would take to that. And yet one wonders at the grace of some of them when you see them interviewed on TV. "I've still got my life. I've still got my loved one." A prominent TV commentator recently lost his house in fire. $1 million home. He lost it. Burnt to the ground. And when challenged about it, he said, "I tucked my daughter into bed last night." What does that mean? Worldly goods meant nothing to him, really, when it came down to family. The family was the main thing, as far as he was concerned. And he was just so thankful that he was able to tuck his daughter into a bed at night, rather than in a $1 million mansion. These people have been scattered. They've lost everything. And you can imagine the questions in their mind: is God in control? I've trusted him, and yet everything's been taken away from me, like Job of old, as we've been hearing recently. And one day he lost his family. He lost his flocks. He lost everything he had. And maybe the killer was that his wife came to him and said, curse God and die. All comfort gone. And yet his faith in God was strong. It was indeed, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's not a cop-out. That is true belief in God, that even though every other human or material support is taken away, God remains and God abides in our heart. It's that total support that really supports us in and through life. He's writing to these believers, and he's calling them the elect. Now, there's a lot of argument goes on about that, but you notice the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Notice the fatherhood of God comes into it. The one who is indeed caring and understanding, the Father, God the Father. The elect. I've noticed in Scripture to me that whenever elect or election comes into it, it's not a case for theological debate. It's a case for comfort for the believer, to let the believer see that God is in control of your situation. That's why Peter, before he finishes this letter, he could say to them, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now I know some of you have been through trial. Trials that I haven't been through. And can't really empathize with you. I might be able to sympathize, but not really truly empathize with you in these trials. But I want to assure you today that God cares. And God understands. And it's God as Father who cares. Elect according to the good foreknowledge of God the Father. Through sanctification, or the setting apart of the Spirit unto obedience. You know, we were a rebellious people. I think we mentioned something in that in our worship this morning. We're rebellious people. We were anarchists in a sense. We were not coming under the rule of God. We want to do our own thing. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians want to do that today. That is a denial of the faith, because we've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit unto obedience. And that's a word that we can't get away with. It's planted in my mind. I won't go into that story. As I've told you over and over again where it comes from. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and still is the work of the Holy Spirit, that out in the world today, like I think saying to a couple of brethren on Tuesday night, like a sheepdog, the Holy Spirit is gathering people, and gathering people, as it were, into a pen, till they come to that point of obedience and surrender to the person of the Lord Jesus, until the effect of the sprinkling of his blood comes upon us, that we are actually redeemed. Not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. These people didn't have any. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. This is where Brother Bob quoted on Tuesday night, and he quoted on previous times here, I think, even. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope. That title, I believe, is a title, rather, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus. I remember as a young believer maintaining, and I still do, that when we address God, we can address Him in no higher title than that. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope. Never forget, brethren and sisters, there's an old saying which says, when a man was looking at a drunk walking along the street, there, but for the grace of God, so go I. Now I know that grace and mercy differ, but God has moved out in His mercy towards us. It might have been, in one sense, against the character of God to abolish us eternally. But within the power of God, it was nothing. In fact, after the people had come out of Egypt, God said to Moses, I'm going to destroy this people. And Moses stood in the gap and said to God, think, basically my translation, loose translation, think on your reputation, God. You brought these people out of Egypt, you brought them out for a purpose, and now you're going to destroy them. No, for your great name's sake, you got to save them. And God has done a lot for us in His name's sake. He's shown us mercy. We have come into the mercy of God. But thank God, we should bow our hearts in worship, because while we have been saved from that which we deserved, by the very grace of God, we've been given that which we don't deserve. Can I say that again? We've been saved from that which we deserve, damnation. We've been given that which we don't deserve, justification, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's grace. I can forgive you and show mercy to you and just leave you as you are. But grace lifts you up and puts you in a position that you don't deserve to be in. And that's what God has done for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again. Begotten us again. We have been begotten, and we've been begotten again. It reminds me of the old story that I used to love as a Sunday school kid. Of a little yacht that was hand-carved and put out to sea and lost. And then as a young man, a young boy went back and he saw the... I was going to try and update it a bit, but I can't even remember the names of the pawn shops nowadays. Thank God I don't need to go to them too often. As he passed the second-hand shop, he sees his boat in the window. And as he goes to retrieve it, because he had made it, the man said, no, I've paid a price for it, and you've got to buy it. And so he goes and obtains the money, and he pays the price. And as he comes out of the shop, he said to say this, you're mine twice. First, I made you. Secondly, I bought you. Isn't that us? Isn't God our Creator? And yet we were rebelling against Him. But through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been bought back at a great price. We are not our own. Therefore, we ought to glorify God in our bodies, which are His. Why? Because He owns us twice. He made us. And He's purchased us by the blood of His own. But not only that, He's given us that living hope within us. You know, that's something that a non-believer doesn't have, a living hope. Even as Adam lay formless that day on that ground, the day he was created, a man he was, the body was there, hands, fingers, nails, hair, whatever it was, complete, but lifeless. And God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We have a living hope born within us by the Spirit of God. I wonder at times when I hear non-believers speak, particularly in the passing on of a loved one, and there's been many tragedies in this country, for Bali and others recently. They've burnt a candle for them. They've died the way they wanted to die, in a dance hall. That's it. How devastating, how empty. But God has given us a living hope. That living hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from amongst the dead. You know, the fact that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead means that you and I are also going to be raised from the dead. Whether he comes or not to take us from this world at the rapture, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that a comfort? To know that irrespective of what we've gone through, irrespective of the situation that we're in, the God who has purchased us twice, or purchased us again, cares. He's the Father God who loves and who understands, and because of that word elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, who knows the end from the beginning, and there's no guesswork about it. He knows. God has given unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled, put aside in heaven for you. And it doesn't stop there. Now here's the people who have lost everything. I'm not saying they had $1 million homes, but they've had to flee because of their belief in the Lord Jesus. And brothers and sisters, there come a time in this country, the way things are going, that we might have to pay the price that these 15 young people in Libya are doing if we remain faithful to Christ. I got a shock recently when I went to get my... These thoughts are just off the top of my head, and I take it they're not biased in any way. But when I went to get my Australian citizenship recently in a crowded hall, my wife and I were the only Europeans there. It lets me see something of those who are coming in to this country that we don't know nothing about. And we can see in our recent journey down to Blue Mountains a couple of years ago how many mosques were around the place. Just over in Dara, just over at Rock Lee, just springing up there. And this country is changing, and one day we might have to say, I am indeed a true believer in the Lord Jesus, and that might have to be shown, A, by our behavior. It will have to, by the way we dress, because quite frankly, I think some of the Muslim ladies are putting some of our young sisters to shame. I was stuck the other day there. I was coming home from work. I was passing through Gooden, and just at the roundabout, I saw a young couple in Muslim dress, who to my untrained mind were not Muslims. And the horrible felt come through me at this time that Islam is becoming a cult amongst our young people. And that shivered me to the bone by the behavior and by their attitude. They were not Muslim, but their dress was Muslim. And I just felt it's becoming a cult following. I could be wrong, and I trust that I am, but I just share that with you, and I pray that you take it just as I've given it to you from the heart. That we, as believers in the Lord Jesus, have been given that living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there has been to us reserved in heaven for you an inheritance. We used to sing with the kids, lay up treasure in heaven, life will pass away. Lay up treasure in abundant measure for the great accounting day. We also used to sing, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I got to examine my own heart these days and say, have I become too materialistically minded? That was Laodicea in trouble. They had everything they needed, but they were poor, they were blind, they were miserable, and they were naked. But there is a treasure laid up in heaven for you. These people have lost all. Faith is not a way reserved on you who are kept. And this is the one I really try to get at, and we'll just leave it at that because time is gone. But I want you to remember this. To you who are kept by the power of God. The reason why I read Galatians, and I go back to it, and read it, is the same word is used in Galatians 3. It says, but Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept. We were guarded under the law, shut up to the faith. Now, to me, that's an explanation of what the word really means. Guarded, shut up. He's enclosed you. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, don't mind my loose leaf Bible, it's come apart. As the mountains are around about Jerusalem, so is the Lord encamped about round them that fear him. The accusation of Satan to God regarding Job was, I can't get Adam because you've put a hedge around him. Guarded by the power of God. That's better than any inheritance, but guarded by the power of God. And of course, Philippians 4 and 6 be careful, be over-anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving make your requests known. Be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, shall guard, shall enclose your heart and minds through Christ Jesus, kept by the power of God. You and I, as we come before God and we unload to Him, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We are kept. We know the peace of God, and it really gives us the enjoyment of that living hope that non-believers don't have. So we should rejoice in Him. May God help these few scattering thoughts to really get in, and if you dig, you'll get a lot more out of it than what I try to give you this morning.